Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Go, here we go, Joshua 5:13. And it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand." Let's look at that for a second. It says, "A man," capital M, "stood opposite him with his," capital H, "sword in his," drawn in his, capital H, hand. What we realize in the word is that anytime that those pronouns are capitalized, that this is talking either about God himself or an angel. But let's read on. "His sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him and said to him," "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Joshua said, "Who you with?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And Joshua did so. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this season of crossing over that we're in. Lord God, we're just so amazed by your great power, Lord God, by your faithfulness. And we're praying, God, that as we cross over, Lord God, that you would just give us a focus on you, Lord God. Still, we have not seen the end. Lord God, would you just meet us here again? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. High five your neighbor and tell him, "Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go." Well, here we are in the final week of our series, Crossing Over. And it's actually another final that we've probably said about five times now, but this is the last Sunday in this space. And if you're not shouting right now, it's because you've never had a cart hit you in the back of the heel and test your prayer language, or lack thereof. You've never had a finger smash rolling the cart into here so that people can experience the goodness of God, so that over 1,000 people can be saved. Can we just lift up praise to God for that? God has done so many things in this space, but we are crossing over. Pastor Steve, over the last few weeks, has just been pouring out his heart, and he is away. He and Pastor Zai today just getting some rest. Before we go into this new season, before we go into this new building, it is going to be amazing. And again, I tell you that if you are here today, even if you are not here today, tell your friends, tell your mom and them, do not come here next week. We will not be here, and you will be by yourself. But we will be at 7195 Oakland Mills Road. I'm telling you, you want to come. It is going to be an amazing thing that God is just is crossing us over. And over the past few weeks, Pastor Steve has taught that that we need to not settle for less than God's best. He taught us in the first week that there are actually some negative attitudes that have to die in the wilderness. So that's what we're doing. We're crossing over. And in our opening scripture, we find that Joshua and the children of Israel, they've just crossed over the Jordan. They've made it across, and it says that as they went across, that they actually set up a memorial of 12 stones just to remind themselves of God's faithfulness, to remind themselves of what God had just done, to remind themselves of the miracle that they had just experienced. You know, sometimes it's good just to stop for a second and to say, "God, I thank you. God, I'm just so grateful for everything that you've done. And I know we've done it already, but can we take just about 10 seconds just to lift up praise and glory to God for all that he's done in our lives in these 2.5 years? Now, some of us are shouting, some of us are not, but maybe it was you that got baptized here. Maybe it was you that your addictions and your strongholds fell off in that Appleton water. Maybe it was you that you invited that coworker who was an atheist when they came, but they left a believer. Maybe it was you. So can you just lift praise to God and thanks to God for what he's done in your life? Hallelujah, Jesus. But it says that they set up that memorial there. And then after that, the men who weren't yet circumcised, were circumcised just to dedicate themselves to God and say that, God, that we are your people. God, you are our God. God, we are your nation. And it's after they were circumcised that Joshua, he meets up with this angel in our passage of scripture. Now, this is the same Joshua. Remember that God has told over and over again, only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous. And he passes through the Jordan and the whole children of Israel behind him. And they go through. And so by this point, Joshua is really kind of feeling himself. A little bit like I've seen a miracle. I've seen God do it. And so what can't I do? You hear the discrepancy there. I saw God do it. So what can't I do? And it says that he came in contact with this angel. Now, let's give Joshua the benefit of the doubt. He did not see something written down that said capital M. So he didn't know it was an angel. But it says he saw a man with a sword there. And I imagine that the conversation went a little bit like this. This is not how it's written in your Bibles, but it says that Joshua saw him and he's like, what's up? What we doing? And it says that Joshua asks him, like, who are you with? Are you for me or are you with our enemies? And I imagine that it happened like this, that the angel looked across his left shoulder, looked across his right shoulder, then looked at Joshua and was like, who are you? I'm not here for either of y'all. By the way, this is holy ground. Take your shoes off and kneel down. And he really kind of like got him right. And I imagine Joshua's like, oh, my bad. And just and you see, what happened is that Joshua, because he had just experienced a miracle from God, was actually about to miss the more that God had for him. He was about to miss this God moment. And so that's what happens a lot of times after we experience God's best for us. After we experience one miracle, it can become real easy just to rest on that one victory. Just to just sit back and say, okay, this is good. You know, whether you are a believer or not, two things are true about this culture that we're in. The first thing is this, that whether you're Christian or not, whether you're a believer or not, you believe in miracles. You believe in miracles. I know you have. I know you looked at that guy and the woman that he's in a relationship with and said, that's a miracle. Like, we're not even talking about different leagues. Y'all are playing different sports right now. Like, that's a miracle. The other thing is this, is that we all make the same three mistakes after we experience a miracle. And the first mistake that we make after we experience a miracle is this, that we forget that there's a battle. We just straight forget that, hey, we are in a battle. And so Joshua, right, maybe he didn't know that the man that he had just encountered was an angel. Let's just say he didn't, but it says that the man stood there with a sword in his hand. And it said that Joshua started asking him questions. Sword questions. Aren't you the Joshua that said that God told to be strong and courageous? Like, that's not even, you know, you've heard the term, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. But bro, you didn't even pull out a knife at a knife fight. You just started asking questions. There is a battle going on. And we forget that after we've experienced some level of victory from God. And what we also forget is that the sword that we've been given is not just for defense. You know, there's actually a kind of broken mindset that's going around right now. And I feel like just in our age of Christendom and of Christianity, we kind of have this passive Christianity. This passive belief that I'm just not going to make any trouble, and God, I'm going to use your word to block the attack of the enemy. I'm just going to stand right here. God, please don't let it come to my house. I praise you. I worship you. Amen. Hallelujah. But is there anybody who realizes that the word of God is a sword and that we should be taking up this sword and literally knocking down strongholds of the enemy? Somebody say amen. There is a battle going on. We were not meant to just sit back and be passive, but we were meant to go on the offensive and tear some things down, to tear it up. That's the first mistake. The second mistake that we make after we experience a victory, after we experience a miracle from God is we think that it's about us. We think it's all about us. God, I thank you that you did that for me. I'm just so grateful for what you did for me. My house. Thank you, God, for all you've done for me. I got some more stuff that you can do for me. Listen to me. Your marriage is not about you. Your breakthrough even is not about you. That promotion, that new level of influence, it is not about you, but it is about his kingdom and his kingdom only. Jesus, as Peter was about to go through one of the roughest times of his life, he said that Satan is coming for you. He's coming to get you. But listen to what he says here in Luke 22:32. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Now, just a pause there. I had a moment of really honesty with God, and I said that, God, if you know one day that Satan is coming for my life, while I appreciate your prayers, can you just, you know, stop it? But that's not what happened here. And he said that I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, when you're back to your senses, listen, strengthen your brother. Now, I know the thought that comes to mind in this moment. You're thinking, oh, yeah. So when I go through things, when I experience something bad, it's not all about me. It's so I can help the people around me. Not quite. There is one kingdom to be advanced. There is one will to be done, and that is the will of God, our Father. It is not about even the people around us. It is about his kingdom. It is about his glory and his glory only. That's all it is about. The last mistake that we make after we experience a miracle from God is we just start to overlook God encounters. Like, we just stop looking for him. And what happens is we get the thing, and then whatever your thing is, what is it? The promotion, the raise, what is it? The marriage, what is it? The family, the baby, what is it? We get the thing, and then we stop pursuing the God who gave us the thing. There's so much more that God has. Listen to me. We have to become a people who go after God, who go after his heart and not just his hand. So God, in this new season, is giving us a whole new level of favor. We are in a new level of blessing. We are going into this new building that we have prayed about for years and for years. And here we are. We're moving into it. But listen to me, with a new level of favor also comes a new level of responsibility. What if in this season, instead of resting on our laurels, what if we got a whole new passion for the city that God has placed us in? What if we got a whole new passion for teenagers who are cutting and hurting themselves, and we pointed them to a God who loves them and to a God who's speaking so much love into them? What if we got a passion about marriages all around us, marriages that are on the rocks, and we pointed them to the rock of our salvation, and we pointed them to the savior of their souls? What if we didn't treat this like this is good enough? Yeah. And what if we leaned in? What if after this miracle, we still pursued God? Well, I have for you today just three things that we can do to prevent us from missing all that God has for us in this season. Because it's easy. It's easy just to kind of rock back on your heels. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with basketball, but anybody who's dribbling, they're looking at the person who's rocking back on their heels, because then they can get crossed over. Come on. AI, the answer. Gary Payton, come on. Then get crossed over. So how do we prevent ourselves from getting crossed over after we cross over? The first thing is this. We remain battle ready. You like that, right? That was good. We remain battle ready. There's a saying that nothing fails like success. It is a popular business term, that nothing fails like success. What it's saying is that it is so easy to become complacent after I've reached that goal that I've been chasing after for so many years, or maybe just for a long season. It's really easy to just lose focus there. It's really easy just to say, you know, this is cool. Anybody remember Blockbuster? Yeah. The original go and pick up the movie, rent the movie, and pay an arm and a leg and late fees and chill. You remember Blockbuster, right? Who at one time was worth over $5 billion. $5 billion. Somebody say, that's a lot of money. Well, in 1997, there was a guy who went to go rent a movie, and he did not return the movie for a very long time, and he got the late fees that he deserved. But then he said, darn it, I am sick of these late fees. And so he started his own company called Netflix. And actually, that owner of Netflix in the year 2000, 3 years after his business started, he went and visited with the owner of Blockbuster, remember, worth $5 billion. And he said that, hey, I want to sell you my business for $5 million. $5 billion, $5 million. Chump change. And yet, they turned on it just so that they can invest with a company called Enron. I don't know if any of you are well, enough of us are old enough, obviously, to remember what happened to Enron just 1 year later. And so they tried to go at it on their own, and they realized we are on the wrong side of this battle. And they lost. Anybody remember Circuit City? Yeah. Yeah. The store with the big red plug that you walk into. Some of you are like, that's what that was. Well, Circuit City even, they rested on their laurels. They rested on the victories of the 80s and the 90s of their earnings, and they never changed after the 90s. And they forgot that there was a battle going on. They forgot that there are other people in this fight, and they could not stand the test of time against an Amazon and against a Best Buy who was coming up at the time. And you're wondering, why am I telling these business stories? Or I feel like I'm reading an article in Business Insider. What for? It's because we forget that there's a fight going on. We forget the battle. And I'm telling you that we cannot afford to relax after one miracle. We cannot afford to get laxed. Listen to me. Don't let the last miracle that God has done in your life be the last miracle that you ever see. Because you rested. Because you got lax. There's a fight going on. There's more to be conquered. I'm telling you, if you are breathing God's earth still on, if you're breathing air on God's green earth, there's still victory to be had. There's still many things to be conquered in your life. You still have a destiny and a calling to fulfill. So we can't get lax. But the other thing to remember is that the battle actually isn't yours. It's the Lord's. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, it says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. This battle is not ours to fight. We just remember that just to watch and to be righteous. The Bible says that garments, well, actually in the Bible, garments represented two things, our righteousness in Christ and also our praise. And so it's our job just to keep on the garment of praise and righteousness and to stand still and see God fight this battle. Listen to this in Revelation 16, 15. It says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief." This is God talking. "Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." It's our job to keep on those garments so that when God is coming with sword in hand to tear something down, we don't think he's coming to tear us down, but we are confident that he is overtaking the enemy on our behalf. The second thing that we do to keep ourselves from getting crossed over by the enemy is that we remain kingdom focused. We remain kingdom focused. Joshua asked the angel, he said, "Are you for me or are you against me?" And how many of us have heard the saying before that there are three sides to every story? There's your side, it's my side, and there's the truth, right? Your side, my side, and the truth. But what Joshua was supposed to remember is that he was not supposed to be fighting for his own side, that he was supposed to be fighting on the side of the truth. Now, I'm telling you that the truth is not just a concept, but the truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. We are not fighting to advance our kingdom. We're fighting to advance his kingdom. And so Joshua had to remember, what side am I fighting on? And he had to remember his focus. I came up to the D.C. area in 2011 to attend the illustrious Howard University. We're in here. And I came up, and I came from Columbia, South Carolina, to Washington, D.C. to attend Howard, but also to, you know, get signed and to network and to make beats and to do all this stuff and you know, to hang out. And I checked out all the restaurants in D.C., and I'm just hanging and chilling for like a year and a half. And then I looked at my grades after a year and a half. Looks like I've been hanging and chilling. And I remembered, like, oh, I did come up here to get something. A degree, that's what it was. I came up here to get a degree, but I had lost my focus. So many of us, after we experience God's best, we just lose our focus. On whose kingdom are we advancing? So the question is not, God, are you a part of my plans? Are you going to jump in with this and we're going to do this together? Come on. But the question is, God, what are you doing? And God, what do you want me to be a part of? Listen to this in Colossians 3:17. It says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What we have to learn how to do as a people of God is to turn everything that we do into an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Now, what I'm not saying is that you need to be handing out salvation pamphlets from your cubicle. It's a little weird. You're too holy. No, it's weird. Have you ever looked at the things, the little square ones with the little stick figures in it, and the stick figures don't have a face? Like, those things are scary. And it, like, the guy's drinking his life away, then somebody tells him about hell. I think they forget to tell him about heaven until it's too late. And it's just, those are weird. Don't hand those out. But what I am saying, went on a tangent there. What I am saying is that you have a passion in your life. What if you put a kingdom focus to a passion that you already have? You know that's what happens in connect groups, right? What happens in connect groups is that someone puts a kingdom focus on a passion that God has already given them. Let's say you're already passionate about finances and wealth building and seeing people free from debt, free from the chains of debt and just the way that it locks down the destinies of families. Let's say that's what you're passionate about. Can you imagine what happens in the connect group, how conversations about budgeting turn into, well, wait, maybe I don't trust my spouse like I thought I did. It turned into marriage counseling. And that conversation turns into, wait, maybe I don't trust God like I thought I did. And a conversation about budgeting turns into a conversation about loving the lover and the maker of your soul, Jesus. That's what happens in a connect group. We put a kingdom focus to a passion that God has already given us. Otherwise, honestly, we're just in the way of what God is doing. When we are living life without that kingdom focus, we are actually living life opposing God. Matthew 12:30 says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Can I offend you really quick? And then we're going to come back and we're going to be friends. And if you're offended, you can email Pastor Chris Cunningham. He'll take all your emails. It'll be fine. It says that he who is not with me is against me. Those of you who are in here today and you kind of have the mindset of, I don't want to jump in yet. I don't want to join a dream team. I don't want to finish growth track. I don't want to do that stuff. It's not that serious. You think that you're neutral. But there is no neutrality in the kingdom of heaven. Either you're with him or you're working against him. Don't get mad at me. That's Bible. If we don't get a kingdom focus and jump in the game, we are actually acting as a hindrance as opposed to a catalyst toward what God wants to do in the earth. Don't rock back on your heels where you are. Keep pursuing his promises. So as we cross over, after we experience a miracle, we're supposed to remain battle ready, right? We're supposed to keep a kingdom focus. And the last thing is this, is that we should remain on our face. We should remain on your face. Remain on your face. What would life look like if we maintain this attitude that we've developed over the past 21 days of seeking God and seeking him every morning, seeking him through anything and really making that time to pursue his presence? What if what we have relegated to a season was really meant to be a lifestyle? Now, I'm not saying that you should be fasting for 365 days. I'm not. I broke my fast yesterday with manna from heaven, aka a Krispy Kreme donut here, and God just had his way. Hallelujah. In my life, and it was great. But what if we're supposed to still be chasing after him? And just seeking after him. Fellas, what if we sought after the heart of our wives before and even after Valentine's Day? There's breakthrough for somebody in here. I hope you heard your wife. What if we sought after their heart? There would be better sex. That's what would happen if we sought after their heart. We'll talk about that next week in our series, Love, Sex, and Rock and Roll. If you just had to cover the ears of your children, they should have been in Destiny Kids anyways. But we'll finish that next week. But what if we sought after God even after we've experienced a miracle? What if we just chased after him? You probably don't remember the name, but there is an athlete by the name of Shawnee Miller, who in the 2016 Olympics, she was running the 400 meter. And the race, there were other people in the race, but it was really about two people. It was about Shawnee Miller and about Allison Felix. And Allison Felix was favored to win the race. And if she did, she would have made history as the first woman to win 5 gold medals in track and field. And so the race gets underway. And the race is all about Shawnee Miller's youth and Allison Felix's experience. So the race gets underway, and Shawnee Miller is actually in front for most of the race. And she's running, she's going. But as it gets near the last couple of seconds of the race, Allison Felix catches up, and some other people start to catch up with Shawnee Miller. and the other runners, they look like they're about to get ahead, and they're running, and they, you know how runners, sometimes they put their head down just to say that I won the race. I don't want there to be any doubt about it. I won. So the runners start putting their head down across the finish line. And as opposed to putting her head down, Shawnee Miller stretches out her arms and stretches out her body, and she lunges across the finish line to win the gold. What if we as a people didn't just put our heads down for a season, say, God, I'm here, God, you're gone. But what if we, for a season, reached out our hands and dived across into the presence of God, into the fullness for everything God had for us? How much more would we see? Joshua, in our passage of scripture, after he has that moment with the angel, it says that God actually did have a message for him. And after they crossed the banks of the Jordan, after they had the men circumcised and they rededicated their lives to him, after Josh was feeling himself for a minute, I just called him Josh. After Joshua was feeling himself for a minute, it says that he actually got a message from God after that encounter with the angel. And that message was that there was a city that was going to be overtaken. There was a city, you're familiar with it, called Jericho. It says that I have something for you. What if we as a people did not get satisfied with where we are? What if we didn't stop at the banks of the river that we just crossed? And what if we leaned into him? I'm believing that God wants to give us the city. That God wants to give you so much more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. But it's going to take us leaning in. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. In other words, God, you're here. God, I've experienced your presence. I've experienced your miracles. I know that you're here. You just marked this thing off of my list. But while you're here, God, please don't move on yet. What else do you have for me? God, I know that you have something else in store for me. So God, I'm not going to rush it. God, I'm not going to just seek out your hand, but God, I want your heart. God, make my heart like yours. God, cause my heart to beat, Lord, like yours beats. Lord God, give me the passion that you have for lost people. God, give me, Lord God, a revelation that you have something in store for me. Lord God, give me that revelation that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of men, what you have in store for me. God, don't let me miss you in this moment.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.